From Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 36, hear now the word of the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There was this faithful disciple of Jesus we read about in the early church. Her name was Tabitha. As we learn, her Greek version of that name is Dorcas. Whole ministries are named after her today. If you were to Google her name, you'd still find a ton of ministries named after her. The Dorcas Ministries, the Dorcas Thrift Shop, the Dorcas Food Pantry, and there's a theme to these types of ministries named after this faithful disciple of Jesus that many of you may not be familiar with. They are all geared around what we might call deed ministries, or helping, serving ministries. And that's because Dorcas, in verse 36, it says, was always doing good and helping the poor. She cared for the poor, and especially the widows, and helped make clothes for them. Her name also means gazelle. And who knows how we get nicknames, or if that was really her nickname or not. But gazelle is a word that's used in the Song of Solomon, and it basically means a beautiful woman. In other poetry of the time, also, it has that word gazelle, meaning beautiful woman. Maybe Dorcas was a beautiful woman, but perhaps she's beautiful because of her faithful deeds of service to the disadvantaged in her society. But a gazelle, the animal gazelle, is also really, really fast, right? It's a fast animal. It could run up to 60 miles an hour in a good sprint. Dorcas was swift. She was fast. She was quick to come to somebody's aid. She would run out to help. She would meet a need. She would bring a meal. She would sew a piece of clothing for somebody who didn't have one. She would jump up and run toward the need instead of away from it. Her faith, her service as a disciple of Jesus was swift and beautiful. Everyone knew the name of Dorcas because, well, she helped just about everybody she met. But it's strange, isn't it, that so many ministries are named after her to this day, but she never says a word in the Bible. There's only maybe 7 verses total that refer to her, her story. Her name and her legacy, though, lives on today. Maybe she doesn't speak in the Bible because she's not known for so much what she said, but what she did. If faith without deeds is dead, as James says in his letter, then Dorcas was alive and well as she put her faith into action. Every church has a Dorcas, right? You think about it. And every pastor wishes her kind would multiply. What a lovely example of a faith-filled follower of Jesus putting her faith into action by loving people, especially those who are most vulnerable in her time and her society, and that would be the widows of her day. Many of our own mothers were probably like a Dorcas or are like a Dorcas. And then we're told only one verse later that she suddenly becomes sick. She dies, her body is washed and placed in an upstairs room, verse 37. So we know she's been dead for a while now. If the body's been washed and the visitation has already started, she's placed in that upstairs room for viewing and for visiting and mourning. And the story might be sounding familiar to you, and if it does, it's probably because it sounds like Jesus raising Jairus' daughter in the Gospels is very similar to that account. And the whole town is upset and will miss Dorcas / Tabitha. And this is a huge loss for the community. Her death meant a lot to everyone because, well, everyone meant a lot to her. Meanwhile, we're told earlier on in verses 32 to 35, Peter's been around the area. He's been busy and at work in this town called Lydda. It's an inland town, but only about 10 miles away from the Mediterranean coast. And there, Peter healed a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and he was bedridden for 8 years. And word got out about Peter healing Aeneas, and many people put their faith in the Lord, it says. Well, as word got out, and we know that Tabitha's family and friends probably heard that word too, so they sent men to go get Peter, tell them to come quickly. We don't know exactly why. It doesn't say exactly why they want him to come. Maybe we can assume that they are looking for a miracle, right? Another miracle, like Peter healing Aeneas. Or maybe they just have some hard questions for the lead apostle, Peter. Why did God have to take her? Why did somebody with such a kingdom passion for serving the poor, a faith-filled believer, why did God have to take her? Why did she have to die? Or maybe they just wanted the lead apostle to give the funeral message while he was in the area. At any rate, Peter hoofed it on over to Joppa, located on the Mediterranean coast. It's a suburb of Tel Aviv in modern-day Israel today. And when he arrives, he's taken upstairs to where Tabitha has been lying, dead. In verse 39, it says, "All the widows stood around him and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made for them while she was still with them." You see, all the beneficiaries of Tabitha's skills and gifts were there to mourn her death. They wore her love every day as they put on the clothes that Tabitha had made for them. In Tabitha's loving kindness, these widows and others, they saw and they experienced Jesus and the love of Jesus in their midst. Well, it's kind of like what Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus talks about separating the sheep and the goats. When he comes again, the sheep on his right will enter the kingdom of God, while the goats on his left will enter the fire prepared for the devil. And the criterion for who goes where kind of goes like this. "For I was hungry," Jesus said, "and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." The righteous will wonder, "Well, when exactly did we do these sorts of things for you, Jesus?" And then Jesus will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So caring for the poor, the unclothed, the hungry, the widows, the lonely, well, doing these sorts of things was like a direct encounter with Jesus himself. Tabitha is counted as a righteous and faithful disciple as she puts her faith into action in her life. It wasn't just a mental assent. It wasn't just an intellectual thing for her. She put her faith into action. So in verse 40, Peter sends everyone out of the room. He gets down on his knees and he prays. And then he turns to the dead woman and says, "Tabitha, get up. Tabitha, get up." Opening her eyes and seeing Peter, she sat straight up. And of course, Peter is saying just one letter different from what Jesus said when he raised Jairus' daughter back to life again. Jesus said, "Talitha cum," meaning "little girl, get up." Peter says, "Tabitha cum," meaning "Tabitha, get up." And then Peter helped her up, he says. And then verse 41, he called for the believers. And this is important. He says, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. The widows are so important here. They were the ones most vulnerable in that society. They were the ones who would often be dirt poor and destitute if they didn't have an adult male in their family or a part of an adult male family. They were the ones who were blessed by Tabitha as she cared for them. The letter of James echoes this importance of caring for the vulnerable among us. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James 1:27. And of course, this is a foundational teaching of all the Bible from the Old Testament onward. For example, it says in Psalm 68, "A father to the fatherless, a widow, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing." Psalm 68. So you see, in her loving kindness toward the poor and the disadvantaged, Tabitha is echoing the very heart of God through her service. And because of this, her death was noticed, big time. And because of this, her resurrection was celebrated with great joy. But why, I wonder, why did Peter bring her back to life? Surely Tabitha didn't live forever, and she died again, and she wasn't brought back, right? Why didn't Peter just perform the funeral message when he arrived there in that Mediterranean town called Joppa? Of course, one answer is that the gospel message about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus means that God is more powerful than death, that death was defeated in the death and the resurrection of God's only Son, Jesus Christ. This was a teaching moment about the power and the truthfulness of the gospel so that the gospel and the church would continue to spread throughout the world. But this resurrection of Tabitha, I'm thinking, may mean something more as well. When Peter was in Lydda, he helped heal this man who was paralyzed, named Aeneas. We don't know about his faith. Maybe he had no faith at all and he wasn't a believer. He was inactive, and it doesn't say anything about his faith. It doesn't say anything about his acts of service or his faithfulness, but God cared about him, and God used Peter to heal him nonetheless. And this miracle drew many to believe in Jesus. So are the miracles and the healings that we read about in the book of Acts or in the Bible just about evangelism? Well, probably not. If Tabitha, a faithful disciple of Jesus, we're told, is brought back to life in the very next miracle, of course, God cares about those who are in the church too. Yes, the church could and did continue without Tabitha. And maybe this is an important lesson for the church and was meant to be an important lesson for this scripture reading today, that God desires that this holy work of caring for the poor, the weak, and the vulnerable continue in the church that bears his name, that bears the name of Christ. This was an exclamation point about how important this kind of work was, caring for the poor and the weak and the vulnerable among us. God cares about all strata of society, the disabled, the down and out, the bedridden, the homebound, the very young, and the very old and infirm. From the womb to the tomb, God cares about his creation. In verse 43, it says, "Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon." That's how our passage is ending. In the next chapter, we learn that Simon lives by the sea, and it is in this very next chapter that we also learn about a man named Cornelius. Cornelius, a Roman soldier, a centurion. It says that his prayers and his gift to the poor has been recognized by God. You see, Peter is growing in his understanding of the scope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just for certain Jewish folk, but rich and poor alike, healthy and sick, men and women are all being impacted by the Holy Spirit of God. Even this Simon the tanner was opening Peter's eyes. Surely Simon was part of the believing community, and he had this job as a tanner. But in the Jewish community, this would have been a disgusting job. Handling dead animals every day, all the time, he would have been unclean, always unclean, unable to enter the temple. So slowly, do you see what's going on here? Slowly, Peter is being prepared for God's vision of a global gospel, a gospel that is for all kinds of people. Cornelius would be the Gentile, the Jew, that Roman soldiers who believes along with his family and his friends when Peter preaches. The Holy Spirit comes on them and they are baptized. I now know, Peter says, that God does not show favoritism. I now know that God does not show favoritism. It's another way of saying God cares about all people, all kinds of people. The gospel good news about Jesus is for all the nations of the world. That indeed is good news. So Joppa, if you remember this city, Joppa is the place where that prophet Jonah went to, right? When he was running away from God's will for his life. He went there because he didn't want to care about all of God's people, especially those nasty non-Israelites there in Nineveh. The fish brought him back, of course. But here in the same place, Peter is at a crossroads of sorts. Will he sail away from God's will to reach all the people groups of the world? Will it take a storm and a fish in order to bring him back to the right road again? Of course, we know the answer. It didn't. Peter heeded the vision and the voice that he received from God, and he went to that inactive man named Aeneas, the disabled man. He went to the frenzied, busy-bodied woman named Tabitha, full of good works and faith. And he goes to a leader in the dreaded Roman army, and he ministers to him and his family. God's plan of salvation is for all kinds of people. And keep the bigger picture of Acts in mind here. This is what it's about, the spread of the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just to one people group, but to all the nations of the world. The Church of Jesus Christ is for all kinds of people, no matter their skin color, no matter their language that they speak, or their race that they are, or their national origin. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. The resurrection of Tabitha shows the church just how much God values this faith at work that's seen in the life and the ministry of this faithful follower of Jesus. The work of Tabitha and Peter show us that Jesus is indeed alive and continues to be alive and active in the world through his disciples, because some are called to be apostles, some are called to be healers, some are called to be teachers, some are called to be comforters, and all sorts of other spiritual gifts. It's interesting, isn't it, that Peter didn't have to preach a message to Aeneas' family or to him, but still, Aeneas was healed, and the word got out, and many people believed. Peter didn't have to preach a sermon in Joppa either, and, well, neither did Tabitha. But it still says, verse 42, that this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. We see an Easter faith at work in Peter and Tabitha. For sickness and deformity will not have the last word. Jesus does. Poverty and homelessness will not have the last word. Jesus does. Death and grief will not have the last word. Jesus does. Jesus conquered death for all who would follow him in faith. Well, even outsiders can see the Lord's presence through these acts of mercy and grace, this healing and the openness that we see in the church. For when the church cares about all people, then all people can see that God cares about all people. When the church cares about all people, then all people can see that God cares about all people. You see, our outreach ministry here at Fellowship Church isn't just a word-only ministry. It's not just about going door-to-door and spreading our message or the message of the truth found in the Bible. But our outreach must also include healthy doses of mercy and justice and service to our community. And that may mean helping out the Third Avenue Lunch Program, volunteering with Life Resources, donating to Starbucks food pantry, or supporting the Our Brothers Keeper homeless shelter. Or it may mean something totally new, a new ministry that meets a very real need in our community. That's something worth thinking about. Shall I say, dare to be a Dorcas? You too can be a Tabitha. I know that we have Tabithas in our church, and if you think about it, you could point them out. They're the ones who are reaching out. They're the ones who jump up and help. They're the ones who are sending you cards, and calls, and text messages while you're in the hospital or sick at home. Jesus wants this kind of caring ministry to continue in his church, caring for the rich and the poor alike, men, women, and children, black, brown, and white, his church. God cares about all people, and he wants the church to care about all people too. And you know, one day we will hear Jesus say to us something like, Ken, get up. John, get up. Becky, get up. Jesus will call our names when he comes again, and we too will experience a resurrection and one day be with the Lord forever. In the meantime, let us not stop loving and caring for all people in the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you join me in prayer? God our Father, so often we have ignored your call on our lives, ignored the spiritual gifts that you've given us that were meant to be used for the common good and building up the church and caring and serving one another and the world. So often we've drowned out your leading with busyness and selfishness, and maybe it's taken a storm in life or fish or some other very unexpected thing to happen to bring us back on the right track again or on the right roads. Lord, forgive us and lead us, we pray. We pray that you would continue to speak to us through your word and through your church, through daily promptings of your Spirit. Sometimes we get discouraged on our journeys, Lord, and we need to hear from you afresh. Help us when we get lost, when we become spiritually dry, when we need a fresh word from the Lord. Help us to always be ready to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus with anyone that we meet. Lord, spark a fire of faith within us and among us that would go viral in our area. And may our community know that we are Christians because of our love and our care for them and for each other. For we thank you and we rejoice in the resurrection life and the hope of eternal life that we have in Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.